This is an informational hearing, so I don't have any problems starting with only the most dedicated people.
Oh, a third, another most dedicated person came into the room. So this is so.
There's a really exciting discussion here, so I.
So we're starting with an informational update on public television. And Sister Straczynski, start with you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, it's my pleasure to be before you today. I'm Bill Straczynski, and I represent the Friends of Minnesota Public Television. And today I also have Diane Steinbach, and I have Bill Hanley with me to talk about a couple of other things. Madam Chair, and members, you have this handout in your package, and this is the annual report. The report was a lot thicker than this, and we certainly left the copies with the chair and what have you. But this is a summary page. The back page is the summary page of things we did last session.
This will be in Mike's office for
yes.
Anyone who needs it, or Chris is somewhere there, instead of us each having one of our own. Okay.
And as we took the legacy money from last biennium and gave a report. We were going through this. We've done this report before. But I wanted to highlight a couple of things that really intrigued me. First of all, the number of jobs created. We have 43 permanent jobs, but we have 177 temporary or freelance jobs created as a result of legacy funding as well. I think what's also interesting, you hear a lot more about this a little bit, there's 394 in total number of historians, educators, and other content experts which were featured in our programming. We've developed 522 lesson guides, had a broadcast viewership, because we get Nielsen's and all those sorts of things. Over 3 million people watch legacy programming on public television. And we've, and other interesting statistics, 1.455, 1.5 million people, just about the web views of our legacy programs that are available on our public television websites. When I saw these statistics and I saw what we did in education, then I asked the legacy staff and all the stations to work with Diane and put together some information on what are we doing in education. This is a real benefit beyond just putting legacy programs on the air. How are we maximizing the resources you've entrusted with us? And we've done a lot of stuff in education, and we can do even more in other areas. So I think that's kind of the focus we'd like to share with you today, is that I think you funded the legacy. There's no doubt about it. We're doing wonderful things with it. There are 6 public TV stations. But what we're doing in education is very impressive to me, and you should be aware of that and take credit for that. And what can we do beyond all of that? That's kind of where we're at today. So at this point, I'd like to introduce Diane Steinbach. Diane's been with TPT for 19 years. She's the Director of Arts and Cultural Media for TPT, and her team produces the weekly art series called Minnesota Original and the music series Minnesota Line, both made possible with legacy funding. And these two series have won 18 Emmy Awards since legacy funding began. It's kind of an impressive statistic. She also works collaboratively, Diane does, with the other 5 public television stations to coordinate all the arts television programming materials for all of the stations collectively offer to the Minnesota citizens. I've asked Diane to join me to talk a little bit about the educational efforts and a little bit about Minnesota Originals and what they're doing with all of that as a result of legacy funding. So we're maximizing resources you've entrusted with us.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. I know it's a really busy week.
Okay, you should state your name as you start.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Diane Steinbach, and I'm Senior Director of Arts and Cultural Media at Twin Cities Public Television. Thank you. I know it's a really busy week here at the Capitol, so I appreciate being given an audience at such a busy time, especially between now and Friday. I thought what I would do today is talk to you about public television in general, but in a very informal way. You know, next year we'll be here again making a much more formal presentation. But the education piece is something that we don't always have time to talk about and has been a part of all of the 6 stations of the Minnesota Minnesota Public Television Association, all of our arts and cultural efforts have been combined with an educational effort. Everyone doing slightly different things, some of them being very sophisticated and others really sort of just beginning to get off the ground. And what we'd like to do is to make sure, but we're all making contact with our educational communities. As our programs represent the areas of the stations, so do the educational efforts. And so on this one sheet, you'll see that we have a number of organizations here listed, educational impact with MPTA partners. And so throughout the state, there are many, many arts educational institutions that are we are working with to create free educational resources and also to make it statewide. And so accessibility, diversity, and this education piece has always been something that's at the heart of public television because our roots are in education. We started as educational TV. We went to public television. Now we're public media. But the education piece is the consistent throughout. I thought I'd just stop here for a moment and just show you a few things that we're doing this year. But let's start with, since we're all about pictures and arts and cultural activities, show you just a short video of some of the work we've been doing at Minnesota Original. It gives you a sort of a broad overview.
Representative
Hausman,
do you have a
comment? Just to the point she just referenced, the partners that you talked about now, are you saying they're the only ones? Because why would only U of M Morris and only one of the Minsky institutions be partners? How would, or are you just saying these are examples?
Yes, these are examples. We do work with more, but these are the people. For example, we work here locally in the Twin Cities with the Minnesota Humanities Committee. It's Prairie Public Television that's working with University Morris. And they do a lot of teacher, master teacher workshops and trainings and that sort of thing. So that's why it's sort of an overview regionally within the state, in certain parts of the state. These are representing who people are working with.
So just to clarify, Madam Chair, so for example, here in the Twin Cities, you wouldn't work with the University of Minnesota?
We do on occasion, but the lesson guides, the partnership we have there is to create lesson guides, and so with the Humanities Center, we develop workshops. We're also talking with Purpose School. So these partnerships may broaden. What we're also attempting to do is to sort of carve this, you know, the access and the partnerships, broaden those, and think about having a little bit more of our resources devoted to the education piece in the coming years. So it's a start. It's by all means not the definitive work, but this we've had such success so far in working with partners. We would like to broaden that out, and I think I speak for all six stations in that regard. Okay, so let's look at some video. This is just a little sampler. We can get the audio up.
Very little about the Guthrie, about Minneapolis, about Minnesota. When I came in 1995, I told my wife that we were going to be here for 3 years. And when we leave here, which will be in 2015, it'll have been 20 years. I'm not looking to leave a legacy. What I'm looking to do is to do the best I can to make certain that the Guthrie grows.
A lot of times we pass by a lot of things, like graffiti. I think a lot of people just sort of see it as graffiti and that's it. And I noticed when I was doing work, people were confused, they were curious, and they saw something more to it. They didn't just see a name, they thought, like, what does this mean? You know, there's got to be some sort of meaning behind it. And I'm really glad that people picked up on that, because there is a meaning behind the name. So there's more than just, you know, type on fences. There's a concept behind it. There's a story. There's a reason why I'm doing this. My name's Eric, and I do non-destructive street art using yarn, and I go by the name Hot Tea.
I'm really excited about bringing people to the wall that don't traditionally get to have their work out in the world and celebrated. And then not only putting them up in a little way, but putting them up really big. There needs to be some kind of balance or counter to how little representation so many of us have gotten in the art world and in the art scene historically. And how do we counter that? Well, let's start big. You know, it's not going to counter history, but it is going to start saying, no, these are the voices that we need heard, especially in this place. So those are the voices I want to celebrate and give them room to say what they need to say.
I'm Joe Maylander.
And I'm Justin Lansing.
And we're the Okie Dokie Brothers.
But, you know, we're not really brothers. We just grew up together.
We play bluegrass and folk music for families.
Yep.
Duh.
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, I think you said that. What was I going to say then?
I don't know.
And you'll see the Okie Dokie Brothers were in that piece, and of course they're from Minnesota and won a Grammy Award this year. And I also had passed out one of the lesson guides that goes along with the segment on the, these are all just short clips, excerpts from the segments, which usually run anywhere from 6 to 8 minutes. And then, and they're perfect for classroom length in a 50-minute period. And all of the stations of the MBTA are doing this sort of thing where they have, you can use the segments, teachers and families can access them online and use them in the classroom, they're classroom ready, and also then they have an activity guide or a lesson plan to go with it. And so many teachers have told us that they're using it cross-curricularly, and we've also got on our website, all of the lesson guides are labeled as well. If you look at the monitor and you go to our website, MNOriginal.org, sorry. If you go to the A to Z, And just scroll down to Ka Vang. These are all the artists you can see that we've featured on Minnesota Original. Ka Vang is a Hmong artist, literary artist, and she's written several books on Hmong culture. We did a workshop for teachers with her at the Humanities Center in February. And generally what they do is meet with a group of teachers who pre-sign up for the workshop. The Humanities and Minnesota Original are really interested because we feature a lot of diverse artists in fulfilling that absent narrative that teachers don't have access to. We also did an earlier workshop with Saeed Salah Ahmed, from here in the Twin Cities, an author. And this helps teachers understand some of the cultures that are in their classrooms that they don't have any background on. These are both, they happen to be both Hmong and Somali. Cultures happen to be very strong storytelling cultures, and so this is a way of reaching children through things they are already familiar with in their homes and in past educational experience. So we hope to be continuing to do this sort of thing. We also have been developing this year, it's a new venture for us, an app for younger children, and it's for 3 to 6 year olds, and I'm going to share with you just how far we are. It's not completed. And it doesn't even, we're sort of working title calling it TPT MNO Play and Learn. But if you look at the monitor, and while this isn't completed yet, we've got on the far left circuit bending. There's some artists, a group called Beatrix Jar, who make music through circuit bending. The middle square is a visual arts application, mostly collage and that sort of thing, and teaches color theory. And then the music on the right is teaching chords, and we'll also then, these would be linked to the artists who fit this. This will be louder than we like it. But here's just to give you a sense of some of the graphics. This will be teaching, see if we go, click on the one. Here's our guitar. And so if the child just, and this for iPad applications will be, they'll be able to do it with their finger rather than a mouse. So they mimic the chord, and then they'll get a little squiggle that'll tell you the strum. And then that gives you a new chord. And at the end of that, Kate will attempt to do this. At the end, and you get happy faces when you've put together the right musical chord. And then at the end, plays a song, and it also plays the piece with the Okidoki Brothers, and it plays one of their songs. So at a very early age, we want to start exposing children to the various kinds of arts activity they can participate in. So that's what we hope to keep growing that and building more and more things that relate back to the legacy-funded programming on the app. And I think that that's just about everything. Unless anybody has any questions, I will turn it over to my colleague, Bill.
Okay. Yeah. Representative Bernal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Steinbach, was there another TPT program that you produced last year that you'd care to talk a little bit about?
What might that have been? I think we spent a little bit of time on that one. Yes, we produced 2 one-hour programs on the Dakota War of 1862, program titled The Past is Alive Within Us, the U.S. Dakota War of 1862.
Yes. I'm sure I thought that was particularly good. At least certain parts of it I like.
Yes, certain parts of it were just excellent.
Yes.
Yes, right. Special appearance.
Do we get an Emmy for that show?
Representative Torkelson.
Not yet.
Madam Chair, don't we have a conflict of interest policy in this committee?
But with the amount he got paid for it, it was okay.
Yes, right, right. He did sign an unpaid release form.
I wanted to just recap and simply say that 7,000 teachers now use legacy-funded programs in their classrooms.
Ooh.
In Minnesota, and we each station has an education component with it. They're working with teachers in their own communities to do even more to help to convert programs to lesson plans and to what other kinds of legacy programs would they find useful. So it's really kind of exciting. So that's something we didn't quite fully anticipate 4 years ago, 6 years ago. But it's really a nice benefit, and we wanted to share that with the committee. Next, I want to share a little bit with the committee and let Bill Hanley talk about the Minnesota Channel. You know, in a business that frequently that produces programs, public television, that disappear, Bill Hanley's been responsible for TPT's most notable exceptions, I think. You should know. In 1984, Bill Hanley created the Almanac, now entering its 30th anniversary, so it's been around a while. In 1984, he also created a partnership with the legislature, excuse me, in 1994, so the sessions, floor sessions and committee hearings are broadcast to the public statewide. Bill created the Minnesota News Network, and he led through the creation in 2004 the Minnesota Channel's Production Partnership Initiative, an initiative that offers unique opportunities to support the work in the communities of a variety of community organizations. And think about the do work and something you should think about for the future. I thought it was important to try and let you know, and we talked a little bit about it before. As you give us legacy funding, we can do great things with it. We do, and people we know, they like public television, and it's a great resource. But there are other people that just don't think about how to use this resource. For example, in other legacy funding programs or other programs that the state's involved in, I always think of the prairie restoration. You're doing those kinds of things. Well, nobody's documenting that from start to finish or educating people how to do a prairie restoration. We can do those kinds of things in public television, no matter where it's located throughout the state, in the Twin Cities, in greater Minnesota. We have a public television station there. We'd love to partner with other kinds of organizations that are coming forward for their requests and whatever. And we think that would be it could be a good thing. They don't think about public television, the role we can play. So we'd like to share a little bit of that stuff that's going on through Mr. Hanley and the partnerships we already have today, and what could the future hold?
Okay. Mr.
Hanley. I'm Bill Hanley. I'm Vice President for Public Engagement for Twin Cities Public Television. This over here. Thank you very much for the time. As you've seen from Diane, you know, TPT is really a special place. You see these mountains and mountains of people that we've profiled, and you begin to think, boy, you know, isn't it terrific that the internet has come along so that we can store all this video and make it available to anybody at any time, essentially anywhere on the planet. It really is an amazing time. But let me tell you a little bit about history, or remind you about a bit about history and how it affected public television in Minnesota. Back about 13 years ago, you remember we all did this digital transition together. Remember, we all sold our big clunky TVs and we bought these nice new TVs, and we all ended up with a digital transition. And one of the effects on Twin Cities Public Television was the fact that we went from two channels of service in the Twin Cities to four channels of service. And our brethren stations around the state also went to multiple channels. And we sat around during this period of 2002, 2003, and tried to figure out, this is a gift that we've been essentially given by technology. How can we use this to serve the people of Minnesota in a different way? And we, out of that process, created something called the Minnesota Channel and the business model that underlies the Minnesota Channel, which is essentially allowing us to create programs with now nearly 300 nonprofits and public service agencies, where we really do produce them together. We share the resources that go into them, and we share the editorial control over those programs. And I've given to each of you, and Madam Chair has the long, complete list, but I've given to each of you just a sample few pages of the entire list of programs. And I did that really just to impress you with, I hope, the variety of agencies that we work with. Everything from the Department of Veterans Affairs to prepare veterans and their families for return from Iraq and Afghanistan, DNR, programs on chronic wasting disease, a whole series of programs with the University of Minnesota. If you've never seen the program, Minnesota a History of the Land, it is a spectacularly gorgeous four-hour program on the natural history of Minnesota. We've done a lot of these very large public engagement projects that all exist on the web. In the last few years, we've concentrated on multi-year projects. So a few years ago, we did a project called Redesigning Minnesota. A number of you in this room were in that program, in that series of eight programs over 2 years that were funded by the Bush Foundation to talk about this redesign challenge that we all have facing us. A couple of years ago, we also mounted a two-year project called Honoring Choices Minnesota, which was intended to talk to Minnesota families about the importance of doing end-of-life care planning with their families so that they don't end up at the end of life with a bunch of misunderstandings and unnecessary treatment that they don't want. The reason I'm telling you all of this is the next thing that we would love to focus on in a large project is the environment and all of the things related to Minnesota's environment. There is no question that Minnesotans care deeply about this. We obviously the reason we're sitting here is because Minnesotans have said over and over again that they care deeply about issues related to the environment. And yet we have not had a conversation with Minnesotans in recent years about what sort of an environmental legacy do they want to leave to their grandchildren. And so the board of Twin Cities Public Television, the management, and many of us in the staff of Twin Cities Public Television have thought that the environment would be a project that we would like to take on next in cooperation with you all, in cooperation with maybe some of the agencies and groups that you already fund that you think might be good partners in this work. And so that's what I'm really basically here to say, is that we would love to start a conversation that would end up with a large project to engage the people of Minnesota about a conversation about the legacy of the outdoors.
Okay, great. Representative Erdo.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Hanley. It seems that with the Minnesota Channel, there are still some holes in the state of Minnesota that don't get it. Now, do you know if Dish Network has a Minnesota Channel?
It does not.
That's what I thought.
That's exactly correct. And we've been poking at this and prodding at this. DirecTV does carry it. Dish Network is not required by law to carry it, and so we would love to have whatever assistance we can have to try to convince them to. But our carriage is actually quite good in terms of cable. There are some small little holes, but the last check we did, we reach 97% of the people of Minnesota.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm proud to be one of the 3%.
We'll have to have somebody come to your house.
Yeah. But, you see, I had DirecTV, and they didn't have it. So I switched to Dish Network, and then DirecTV got it.
Yes, that's right.
And so...
There was a funny technical thing which I don't quite understand, but there was something we were able to do with the transmitters that compelled DirecTV to do it. It's an odd thing, but we have two different transmitters, and if we run the Minnesota Channel on both of them, it requires DirecTV to run it, and that's what we essentially did to, we thought, solve your problem.
Yeah, well, Madam Chair. Mr. Hanley, if you have some suggestions on what we could do to help encourage Dish Network, I mean, we would like to get the little 3% covered here.
I'm sure Bill Straczynski will have a lot of solutions to this problem up his sleeve.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other comments and questions? I guess one of the things, one of the directions I'd like to see Legacy move is direction to getting more of the underserved communities involved in it, either in being portrayed or in working on programs and so forth. So
I will show you this, just the list that I passed out. The number six item, we did a series on breast cancer in, I think, five languages.
Wow.
And it wasn't just translation. This was a program that was remanufactured, essentially, by healthcare providers in each of those cultures. So it was originally designed as a Somali language breast cancer program and became eventually a program for each of those cultural groups. We couldn't agree with you more. And obviously, I made reference to Honoring Choices, the end of life care program. If you go to the website for that one, you will see 750 video clips that we produced essentially for all of the different cultural and identity groups, including faith groups. So we completely agree with you.
Okay, any other comments or questions? Okay, Representative Murphy.
I really would appreciate if you put Duncan Abbey on at a different time in The Good Wife.
Yeah. It's a huge problem. It's a, for all of the people of Minnesota, we have this problem. And do you have a DVR? This is the solution to your problem. You need a DVR. That would allow you to enjoy all of those programs at the same time.
More technology.
Okay. Representative Lilly, first of all, he's read the minutes very carefully, and I believe he wants to move.
Madam Chair, I happily move the minutes
of March 19th.
Of March 19th.
So moved. Well, I don't think we ever brought the committee to order, so we probably should bring the committee to order now that we have enough of them. Now, Representative Lilly, you might as well move them again so I don't have to run the tape backwards. But
I move approval of the minutes.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Minutes are approved. Any other comments, questions, or comments to our...
Madam Chair, I just...
Bill.
Madam Chair and members, and thank you. We just wanted to give you a sampling of some of the things we're doing in public television with the legacy funding. It's pretty exciting the directions we're headed, and the future looks very, very good. It's a tremendous... I've shared some of this information, this handout, with Representative Carlos Mariani, Chair of your Education Policy Committee, and he was not aware of all of the things in education that are going on right now being funded through the Legacy Committee. That's how we're using our resources. So thank you for listening to us. We very much appreciate your time today and look forward to working with you in the future.
Great. Representative Wills?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a quick question on how the public would be able to get involved in this, and maybe I missed it because I was a little bit late. I apologize. But if people have ideas for what they'd like to see in a program, or maybe they don't like what they see in a program, who would they contact?
All of the thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. All of the stations in the Public Television Association have viewer services departments, certainly at TPT, just calling our main number, or calling any of the... or emailing any of the stations. And we do respond to those. And we also love ideas from the community, especially in terms of covering certain events. We actually, on our website, just regarding Minnesota Original, have a constant request for if there are artists you would like to have us feature, please, you know, call us or get in touch with us in this way. So completely open and... multiple websites for everybody to have access to. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Any other comments, suggestions?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
And meeting is adjourned.